We will read today the two last verses which were kept carefully till the end of this great verse work, Ut Kalika Valari. Ut Kalika means intense longings, and Valari is a vine, in German language, eine Schlingpflanze. Just like a vine always requires a tree for a support in order to grow and finally show the blossoms and flowers, our intense longings will always require the support of the tree. The tree is our Radha and Krishna, our desire for Radha and Krishna. We have so many other desires, and maybe during the month of Kartik you become more aware of them than during normal times. Have you noticed this effect? When you stay in Vrindavan, you would like to concentrate only on your primeval, on your first and foremost desires. But Srimati Radharani puts a mirror before your face and forces you to see what you want to hide from even yourself. That is all the other desires. But at the same time, in the month of Kartik, especially at a holy dham like Vrindavan, and especially at a holy dham like Radhakund, we begin a re-education of our desires, education or information that really the only thing which will make us happy is to desire Radha and Krishna's service. And even though we detect all our other longings and desires and are sometimes sad and humbled to finally have to confront them, deep inside of us, like the fire at the bottom of the ocean, we understand that our desires will only be satisfied if we are exclusively taking shelter at Radha and Krishna. Isn't that the feeling which we have at the month of Kartik? Those who are not yet listening, please start to listen and get out of the clouds to the subjects, because you will need your attention and your heart for the last two verses of Utkalika Valari, the vine of intense longings, which have as their support the beautiful tamal tree in Vrindavan called Sri Krishna. So here comes the verse for you. Udginat bhut utkalika valari agre brindatavyam nitya vilasa vratayovam van matre navyaharato pyulalangetam akanye shokamita sitim kurutam. So, Rupa Goswami has now prayed 69 verses, which when you hear these with again and again will make your heart cry. For instance, I want to repeat one verse which is very, very dear to us here who are residents at Lalitakund. It's a prayer to Lalita Devi. And you can see how fortunate we are that we are concluding our day here at Lalita Kund. You know the Kund just before the gate is Lalita Kund, we can see. O Lalita Devi, because you always control the hero and heroine in the Nikunjas at Govardhan, there's nothing that you cannot achieve. Lalita, you can achieve everything. You are free to do as you like. Therefore, you can also mercifully accept me and engage me in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. When I talk today with our Mahanidhi Maharaj, he asked me, So Maharaji, you have stayed in hiding in Vrindavan, no one was able to find out where you are. Where were you? And I said to him, at Lalita Kund, at the bank of Lalita Kund, I was staying, because first of all, it is mercy, and second of all, when I had to choose between different places, I thought of this verse that Lalita Devi tells Radha and Krishna what to do in their pastimes and what not to do. And if Lalita Devi recommends a soul, Radha and Krishna will not even think about this. They will immediately do, because they are accustomed to giving, to following Lalita's orders and her control. So here at this verse, so this was one of the verses of Rupa Goswami. Lalita Devi, you can do everything. So kindly recommend you me to the divine couple. And now he says, O possessors of my life, Sri Krishna and Sri Radha, you are eternally absorbed in your enjoyment. This vine of longings, this Utkalika Valari, has sprouted up in front of you here in Vrindavan. You know, he's saying this, what you have heard, these eager requests have come before you here in Vrindavan. Then Rupa Goswami says, I tremble as I recite this prayer. Although these are only words, they are so strong that I must tremble. After you hear my heartfelt request, please be gracious and merciful to this lowly person. Answer my prayers and give me the service for which I have been so deeply yearning. And Rupa Goswami means this very seriously. He says, and just like you should hear my prayers and answer them, I request you that you hear the prayers of everyone who recites these verses and also answer their prayers. You follow? He doesn't say, just only hear my prayers for now, but his understanding is anyone who recites these prayers, please also listen to them and answer them. He says, I'm trembling simply from reciting this Utkalika Valari. I cannot imagine what would happen if I deeply meditated on it. But I just recite them, and already I'm trembling. If I start to meditate on them, I will faint. Therefore, the two of you should bestow the desired perfection upon anyone who reads this. So these are the power of Rupa Goswami's words. He's a very dear associate of Srila, of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna, and he says, and he has come, Sri Rupa Manjari. Sri Rupa Manjari has come down to this world and planted a tree of prayer into the Chintamani dust of Vrindavan. Do you know what Chintamani dust means? That if you have a desire which you plant into this dust, in other words, if you bow down Mr. And bow down sister into the dust of Vrindavan and desire something which will be placed into the dust of Vrindavan, then this will grow and become fulfilled like a because this dust is a Chintamani dust. You might remember how Krishna once was planting some jewels into this dust, and the jewels became trees. Do you remember? So the gopis were asking, how is it possible that you know, jewels don't grow from dust. Jewels grow on, and pearls is pearls, not jewels, pearls. Pearls grow from oysters. Even Mother Yashoda said, when Krishna said, Mother, give me some pearls, I want to plant them into the field and grow pearl trees. Mother Yashoda said, Lala, this won't work. Pearls grow from oysters. Never ever have pearls grown from dust. And Krishna said, this is normal dust. If you grow something into normal dust, yes, then it cannot grow. But if this is the Chintamani dust of Vrindavan, anything which you place in here will grow. Anything. What to speak of pearls? So Mother Yashoda said, you always have your arguments. You just take a few pearls and we shall see that nothing grows. So then Krishna grew, as we know, Krishna put these pearls down into the earth of Vrindavan, into the Chintamani dust of Vrindavan, and so many wonderful pearl trees grew from it. So what you need as sadhaka to do with the dust of Vrindavan, I wouldn't recommend that you grow psycho watches and harmoniums and euros, you know. But you need to take the seed of your aspirations, your spiritual aspirations, and put them into the dust of Vrindavan. And this Chintamani dust will help that these aspirations, these spiritual desires will be fulfilled. And this is what Rupa Goswami here says. He says, I have placed these desires, these impossible desires, which make me tremble into the dust of Vrindavan. And I think you must fulfill them because this is Chintamani dust. And then he says, not only my desires, but please also the desires of everyone who comes here and prays these prayers. This is what it means, Chintamani dust, for a sadhaka like you and me. You bring your strongest aspiration here and grow them. Be careful when you are in Vrindavan that these other desires which you have for a husband, they will also be fulfilled. For health. I was just today in a hospital, and I can already feel how my aspiration to become healthy is almost fulfilled. I feel so healthy. I feel double as healthy as yesterday evening, just from this one placing my aspirations in the dust of the garden of the Maheshwari Hospital. I can see already how everything becomes fulfilled. This is naturally granted, but What this dust is really for is for your spiritual aspirations. Find, look for these aspirations. What they are. By now you should have some idea what are your spiritual aspirations, and you will see as you place them into the sacred bhumi of Vrindavan, they all will become fulfilled. They all will be 100% fulfilled. This is what the doctor said to me when he read my diagnosis. I thought, my God, if I tell this in Germany, everyone would come with a helicopter and kidnap me out of dangerous India. And he said, this is Vrindavan. Krishna is very kind here. Don't worry. Everything will be soon over and very good. So he indicated that when we have some desire here, it will be fulfilled in no time. We just have to be very careful to be proper Vaishnavas. So then the last verse is Chandasva Bhuvana Shake Poshego Kulavasina Iyamut Kalika Purva Valari Nimita Maya. In 1549 Anno Domini, in the month of Posha, December, January, residing in Sri Gokula, I have composed this unparalleled Utkalika Valari. Thus ends the this book, Utkalika Valari, which is a part of Stava Mala. So, Srila Vidya Bhushana has said, this commentary, my own commentary on Utkalika Valari, which contains highly exalted moods and sweet poetry, was written by Baladev Vidya Bhushana. The moods of this poem are an eternal wealth for all the devotees who are full of love, who are expert in the esoteric moods of love. We have seen in this book the expertise of Rupa Goswami, because as we were going through this work, we could see that in his worship, he gives Srimati Radharani the first place, the place of honor. This is very much the mood of all the Goswamis. They say, without worshipping first the dust of Radharani's lotus feet, you will never know what is the ocean of Syama Ras. Without first taking shelter of Vrindavan, where Radharani's footprints are to be found, you will never know what is the Syam Rasa. And without conversing with those devotees who have great love for her and who are grave in their moods, you will also never ever know what is the rasa of Krishna consciousness, the Syam Rasa. No? So I was meditating a little bit about this. We should take shelter of Vrindavan, where the dust of Radharani's lotus feet are to be found, and where the footprints of Radharani's I'm sorry, are to be found on the millions millions of paths. I would like to discuss today evening what it means to follow the footprints of Radha and Krishna, because I really feel that before finding Radha and Krishna, or having a very deep realization of Radha and Krishna, we must first of all be able to detect and find their footprints. There are a few hints in the Leela of Krishna. For instance, when Krishna was not to be found in all of Vrindavan when he was a little boy, Mother Yashoda would look at the ground and find some yogurt smeared footprints of Krishna and follow those and then find her Lala. Or when Krishna was a little older, when the village of Vrindavan had heard where that the Krishna was attacked by the Kaliya demon, they actually found Krishna dancing on Kaliya by following his footprints in the dust of Vrindavan. This is the Bhagavatam who informs us like this. The Bhagavatam says that there were always the footprints of Krishna in Vrindavan, because not even the wind would smear them over. They were always to be found. So the devotees of Krishna always find Krishna by following the footprints of Krishna. What that means in practical terms is that a devotee should learn to meditate about the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, because while he does so, the meditation on the lotus feet will destroy all the obstacles. Where I live, Kuvalishaya Vishwakama, in Gora Bhavan, which you have visited, I have only two pictures on the wall. These are the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Because I'm deeply convinced from the teachings of the Bhagavatam that by following the lotus feet of or meditating about the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, only then you can get Radha and Krishna. The lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, when you meditate about them, have two effects. The first is they destroy the innumerable obstacles which are in the mind of the sadhaka who cannot concentrate on Radha and Krishna because of other desires. It is said the flesh, for instance, on the lotus feet destroys the mountain of sinful reactions which are there in the mind of the normal person, so that he can never hope to come close to Radha and Krishna because there's so much karma in the way. So the lotus feet of Krishna or Radha and Krishna, what they do first and foremost is they destroy the obstacle on the path for you. This is the work of the lotus feet. They, the meditation of the lotus feet, they destroy the obstacles. What also is it's also described to meditate about the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna means that you must do some service. No? Lotus feet means you serve, because by service only, the obstacles which are like mountains between you and Krishna are destroyed. Those of you who have done service during the month of Kartik are very blissful, but those of you who have tried to relish are very depressed. because first of all, the obstacles must be destroyed from your path. Otherwise, you have not a big chance to approach Radha and Krishna. They don't like to be enjoyed by ordinary conditioned souls. So there is a particularly wonderful leela which I heard many years ago, that Srimati Radharani wishes to go to meet Krishna. Now her manjari, her little servants say, Radha, just the thought of you moving through the forest of Vrindavan, which is full of pebbles, this means stones, and thorns, is giving so much pain to my heart. Can't you walk on my soft hair? That would be better. This is how the servant girls feel to Radharani. So Radharani, of course, has so much eagerness to meet Krishna that she is not paying heed, but moves very quickly through the forests of Vrindavan. On her loving journey to Krishna, she doesn't tolerate any delay. And soon her little servant girl, who has a moment before suggested that Radha walk on the hair so that her feet are not inconvenienced, loses sight of her mistress. Radha is so fast in her abhisar that the servant girl cannot follow so easily. Also the servant girl has a golden plate, and on it there are some perfumes and sandalwood paste and fresh garlands to give pleasure to Radha and Krishna. And she comes, so Radharani is gone like the wind, and the little manjari is there with her plate, wants to do service, but she doesn't know where Radha is. So at that moment, the manjari remembers, I will find Radha if I meditate about her lotus feet. And she looks to the ground, on the ground of Vrindavan, and as she has this meditation, I will find my mistress through the meditation on her lotus feet. The Chintamani dust of Vrindavan, Rangini, starts to illumine like fresh light, wie Teelichter. And the Manjari sees Srimati Radharani's lotus footprints on the dust of Vrindavan, showing the way to where is Radha. So this is a theological and also a leela fact. You cannot find Radha and Krishna alone. You must find first their lotus feet. You must meditate about their lotus feet. And those who are expert meditators in the Gaudiya line, they always think of Radha and Krishna's lotus feet day in and day out. They try to keep a picture wherever they are, and they try to learn the meaning of the symbols so that they can remember where and how to find Radha and Krishna. Because you are Western devotees and you understand things according to your sanskaras, I want to also bring another understanding of this to your attention. I feel very much that Krishna and Radha and Krishna like indirect ways. A description in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, that Krishna likes to be glorified in an indirect way. So if you want to find Krishna in your life, you might have to learn to read the signs which Krishna lovingly puts for you. Just like he puts his lotus feet for his devotees to see him, to find him, he also, in this world, puts different signs to the devotees, different gestures, different ideas. And I talked about this with Mahanidhi Maharaj, who told me that when he was 18 years old, he became a vegetarian, and when he was 19, he became he met the devotees, and he always wanted to become a devotee, but he had to wait until the signs were clear, and with 24 years he became initiated by Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles. There are sometimes signs in our lives which Krishna has put there. I think one sign which you can know are the subtle inspirations which you have gotten during the month of Kartik in the Chintamani Dham of Vrindavan. You must have gotten some insights. We in our little service team here, we have spoken about it. Ananda Chaitanya and his wife and the others, we have spoken about the different realizations and the different clarifications which Krishna put in our lives here. And I think it is important to keep these signs and to keep following these signs when we go from here into the other services. I feel we almost get too many signs for Krishna, so that we don't believe them any longer. But there are many, many signs which we get in the Holy Dham, which are so crystal clear that we should make a note in our notebooks, in our hearts, and become enthusiastic to follow these footprints. Just like footprints are signs, these other signs are also signs of Krishna, which can lead us in the proper way if we are willing to follow them. For me, one of the greatest signs which I received, which really stayed with me for 2 weeks, was when I saw that black dog. I first heard him. He was outside this gate, and he was moaning. He was looking towards Lalita Kund, and he went, and he was crying. And I first thought, yes, maybe she's hungry or something. But he was crying. And then I looked, after 20 minutes, he was still there crying. And he was crying so much that there were even 2 monkeys. We have very nice monkeys here in this in our Lalita Kund ashram. They were just one was next to him and the other was patting him on the head. We are with you in this hour of need, don't worry. And it was just three animals. When I told this to Mahanidhi Maharaj, he said that the monkeys were saying to the dog, it's all right. We were also dogs in our past life, but now we have advanced to monkey life. You know, he interpreted it like this. I thought it was something. When I looked at it, I thought it was something else. I thought the heart of the dog opened totally. It split open like a orange, which is freed from the shell and then gives way of its fragrance. And I could understand so clearly that it will be this crying which comes from my opened heart which will bring the mercy of Radha and Krishna upon me. I could understand this very deeply at this moment. And I also understood, only if I become as absorbed as the dog is in the object of his crying. I think he cried for Radharani's mercy in the direction of Lalita. only if I become as absorbed to the degree that I forget myself in the crying for Radha's mercy, will that rarely obtained object come. And as I was reading, as I was sitting, I was a little feverish and I was exhausted, and I sat there a little bit like a dead man, and I looked at the dog. Somehow something happened in my heart. I remembered many of the prayers of Utkala Vikavalari, which are the crying of Rupa Goswami. You know, Rupa Goswami writes in the first verse that I'm sitting here in the forest of Vrindavan and I'm crying and crying and crying, and I'm revealing to the world the wounds which the hot tears have left on my heart. This is how Rupa Goswami said. And as I was looking at the dog, and I was thinking how many lifetimes this dog has already practiced. Maybe he was a sadhu in one of his previous lives, and he's now still a sadhu, but he's truly humble. I was really thinking how the treasures of Krishna consciousness, for me, revealed themselves in the crying of the dog. I saw this as a sign of Radha and Krishna, a footprint pointing towards them. When I speak of to you this evening about recognize the signs which the Lord lovingly places before you, I mean such things as I have just now described. Or I'm thinking of the two sadhus who had traveled all throughout India, you could see by their dress, and they finally arrived at the banks of Radhakund. They were just throwing themselves at the Radhakund, and they were just looking at the Radhakund. They couldn't believe it, and they were crying these sweet tears. Oh, we have reached Radhakund. Oh, may the mercy of Radharani come to us. These two sadhus were also my examples. Or I'm thinking of the cow, who, when I was down and finished and out and mental, as I was circumambulating Giriraj, the cow came and smiled at me and made moo at me to encourage me. I thought it was a sign. Krishna had said the cow. There are many such signs. I don't want to speak so much about myself. You should also see the signs which Krishna has placed before you. The encouraging signs and the corrective signs, and you should follow these signs, these these prints in the dust of Chintamani Vrindavan Dham, then you can bring your life to the success. I want to end this beautiful my own comment on these books, on this book. For Krishna, Radharani is supreme. Once in Yavat, it was very, very high. High means hot. Radharani was thinking to take a bath in a lonely spot at the Yamuna. I heard this many years ago. She was feeling it so hot, and the Yamuna is so cool. I will go with one of my dear maidservants to take a bath in the Yamuna. And while she was walking, she thought, I hope Krishna will not be there. And while she was walking a little further, she thought, I hope Krishna will be there. So she was walking like this, and in the meantime, one very green parrot came to Nandishwar, Nandagaon, where Krishna was playing with his cowherd boyfriends and was... Actually, he had just milked the cow and he was engaged now in wrestling activities. After milking comes wrestling for Krishna. And the parrot informed Krishna that the personality whom you have given all of your heart to is going only with the association of one girlfriend, one little servant, to a lonely spot at the Yamuna. Krishna very quickly informed his boyfriends, I have now wrestled so much that my whole body is hot from the wrestling. Let me do one thing. Let me go now into the gardens of my father, where there is a very cool breeze, and let me enjoy the beauty of these natural trees. That is my desire. The boy said, you want any association? No, I'm so hot. I'm so hot. I just even association makes me hot. I need to just see the cooling beauty of Nandishwar. So Krishna then quickly went to the Yamuna, to the place where he's suspected Srimati Radharani to take her bath, and there he climbed a kadamba tree, stayed on the top of the kadamba tree. So meanwhile, Srimati Radharani comes and arrives at that place. And you must know the Yamuna has these jeweled bathing ghats where Radharani walks down, and from where she can easily come into the water. It's easy to come into the water when there are steps, but it's very difficult to come into the water if there are no steps. You can see in lakes like Kusum Sarova, Radhakund, there are always these steps, these ghats. And ghats are nothing else than a facility to enter easily to the water. So Radharani comes there and is only thinking of Syam, and the little Manjari now opens the beautiful hair of Srimati Radharani. Each hair is dearer to the Manjari than thousands of her lives, and she begins to oil these hair and then puts the dust of lotus seeds to take the oil away, and in this way readies Srimati Radharani for the bath in the Yamuna. Now all this time Krishna, who's up there in the Kadamba tree, looks down and sees the beauty of his Radharani and is so privileged and so honored to see each single of her hair that he just prays in the tree, "Oh Radha, the splendor of your body is like molten gold. The rays from your lips are as red as the red bimba fruit. Oh Radha, the beauty of your personality is all I'm hankering after." And in this way, the divine couple has very indirect association. Finally, Radha looks at the black Yamuna water, and you know the Yamuna water immediately and instantly reminds her of Krishna, and she begins to meditate and absorb her mind in Krishna as she looks at the Yamuna, thinking, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And Krishna, not wanting to disturb Radha, meditates about Radha. This is the love of the divine couple. It's a very powerful love. It's a divine love which makes all our thoughts of love insignificant stories without the value which Radha and Krishna's love have. So during this month of Kartik, we like to meditate about the love of Radha and Krishna. We like to hear these pastimes. We like to one day aspire to be part of these pastimes. But to really go there, we will need to follow the footprints of Radha and Krishna. We will have to follow the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And I believe if you can become more absorbed about Radha and Krishna's lotus feet, a lot will become clear for you in your spiritual life, and it will be very conceivable for you that one day you come to Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna will not look so distant for you any longer if you see their lotus footprint. There's very important teachings. Please, if you can come to the market place in Vrindavan, I know for sure there is a small little book with 20 pages maybe, the lotus feet footprint of Radha and Krishna. You can beg some Lakshmi and then purchase it for a small price, and make yourself more and more familiar with approaching Krishna through his lotus foot. This is how he likes to be approached, or Radha, approaching Radha through their lotus feet. And lotus feet means we do service. we do service for them. There's one picture which is newly painted. I saw it. It's so good, and it's at the same time the idea of the picture is so good, but the execution is so absolutely kitschy that only girls can like it. It shows how Radha Rani's feet are dangling over Radha Kund, and then from outside, inside Radha Kund, Krishna's lotus hand come. Have you seen? When you go for parikrama, you can. There's a picture shop. You can go through the pictures and see it. It's. I think it is a very, very great transcendental secret to approach the divine couple through their lotus feet. And even Krishna approaches Radharani through her lotus feet. The Manjaris find Radharani through following her lotus feet. The devotees of Krishna find Krishna through following his lotus feet. Only through looking at the lotus feet of Krishna, you can actually become successful in your life as a sadhaka. The Bhagavatam says meditation on Krishna should start where? Krishna's lotus feet. You know everything. Only the gopis, when you find in the Bhagavatam meditations by the gopis, they always start with the face. They are the intimate association of Radha and Krishna, but we need to run after the lotus feet in the ground of the Chintamani dust of Vrindavan. I'm so enthusiastic. I'm actually will try to purchase a. I have books like this, but I don't have them with me. I'll try to purchase a book and then meditate more about the lotus footprint. I personally am very happy this month of Kartik is now over. It's you can see I'm here in this Lalita Kund Ashram, very happy and satisfied, and I have received so much, an abundance of instructions and visions and mercy. But this time it has come to me in a totally unplanned form. I had not really known what it would mean for my life to do Dandavat Parikrama. I spoke today with Mahanidhi Maharaj about it. And, you know, only someone who has done this can understand what it is. It's something beyond the mind and the senses. You can never speculate about it. It's just so different. And I had not really made a serious plan to do it. I had just devotees mentioned they would do it, and I thought, well, I like adventure, why not do it also? But then I was learning on the first day that this is not an adventure. This is something else. This is surrender to the highest degree. And I learned many, many things on it. It's maybe an experience in my life. See, it is such a big experience that it's one of the experiences which I don't wish to explain. Because the moment you try to understand and explain an experience, you move it out of the experience level into the world of your own mind, which is no longer the reality. It's only an interpretation. what is going on in the mind has nothing to do with the reality. So I don't even want to express it. Yes, I've written a short article, but I have wrote very truthfully, but it was really only one perspective of it, one dimension. So I hope that you also have made your experiences during Kartik, whatever they are, and please, from this lecture, take with you to follow, to look for the footprints, that is, for the signs which Krishna has left for you. These signs come very often in discussion with devotees. Very often Krishna speaks in discussions with devotees to you. Very often he takes the mouth of a devotee, because our ears are just too full with our own thoughts. So the devotees are often, Krishna is often speaking to us through the devotees. Very often. Through Brijbasis. Very often through Brijbasis. If you can respect them. So let us end the month of Kartik with just one little short kirtan. Oh. So nice, huh? It feels like something is over, no? Well, the month of Kartik is over. Wow, yoo-hoo. It's not nice that it's over. That's not a. But the nice thing is that we were allowed to stay here, and to be. Yes, to be present. What should we say? Yeah.
The first time we sang that melody together was in Mani, this family's ashram with Jaini Thai, and it was just a full moon rising in front of us. The first time we sang it.
Oh, it was, so it was during the. Oh yeah, now I remember.
You remember?
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
now.